Drinks.
Hey everyone, welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover, and this episode I am host free. Or no, that's not true. I'm a host. I am co-host free, but I am joined by an exciting guest. She's an on-camera personality. She's an influencer. She's a fellow podcaster. She's a multi-hyphenate, okay? Allie Levine. Hello.
Hi. So excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on the show. So I have three kids. They are all boys, 4, 8, and 10. What you got over there, Allie?
Dude, you are super mama. Like, holy. So I had two girls, and one is about to almost 2.5, and the other is almost 4 months old.
Oh my gosh, you are in it.
I am in it. I am definitely in it. I actually just texted my husband and said, how are we doing? Do I need to, you know, whip the boob out while I'm recording? Like, does she need to nurse? What's happening?
That would be amazing. I don't think anyone in the history of this show, and it's been like 4 years, I don't think anyone's ever nursed on air. So that'll be very exciting.
Oh my God, that's the thing. Can I just tell you, like, every show I've been on lately, like, especially if it's not obviously on camera, and if it is on camera, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to like move this a little bit while I just nurse for a second, because like struggle is real.
Oh, yeah. Wow. 4 months and a 2.5 year, like a 2.5 year old period will break anyone. And then
toddler intensity for sure. Tremendous twos and all and in all moments. And then, the second she'll be 4 months at the end of this month of September, depending when this obviously comes out. But so, you know, two under two, basically it's intense.
Oh, yes. I have been there, and it is. Honestly, one of the biggest things that has broken me of all time.
Yeah.
It's really intense. Is your 2.5 year old, like, is she helpful, or how is she doing with everything?
You know, to be honest, I don't want to jinx myself with saying this out loud, but she's actually really, really helpful, and she has such a nurturing nature about her. Amelia is my oldest, and she's just so good with her baby sister. Like, yesterday we were laying on the bed and we were just relaxing, and I put on a little show for her while I was handling something, and Arlie was laying next to her, my little one, and she had her arm around her and was cuddling her, and I looked at her and I was like, you're such a big sister. Mama is so proud of you. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, you're proud of me? And I was like, yes, I am. You know, like, and I think she like actually really felt me like be so proud, because she's so nurturing. Like, of course she has her moments, but she's never really jealous of Arlie. It's more of she's jealous of wanting mama's attention. Like, I realize some days if I'm holding Arlie a lot because she's, you know, clustering or nursing a lot, whatever it may be as a baby, Amelia definitely wants to like sit on me and will like climb up on me while I'm on the boob. And I'm like, okay, there's only so much room on this lap right now. But,
oh yeah.
But she's a very nurturing big sister, and she like will run and get the wipes, or like if she spits up on me, I'll be like, Amelia, emergency. And she'll run over and get the burp cloth and be like, oh, here, mama. Like, she's very, very helpful in that sense. It's more of like, when she wants me on her own, it's like, I'm going to pull on you and I'm going to let you know. Like, yeah. I would do. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I wonder, you know, I do think that for the most part, gender is a construct, and, you know, there's people come in all kinds. But I have to say, my friends who have firstborn girls seem to echo what you are saying, that their firstborn girls are like helpful with the baby. When my second kid was born, my oldest son, and that's when it was two under two, my oldest son said, like, pointed at the baby and said, no. And that kind of summed it up. Like, he was like, can you send it back? and that was like amplified with the third kid, because he was just like, I don't like this person. Everything was better with when he was not here, and I wish I was an only child. Everything's better now, but that was rough.
I bet. It's intense. I mean, and it's like, you know, you're like exhausted, obviously, and you're trying to like give to everyone. You're like, oh my God. But at the same time, they're like these little people that have like these crazy emotions, and they're trying to like handle them. And it's like, I had no idea how heavy my daughter being two, how heavy her emotions are. Like some days I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, you're two and you got a lot of emotions.
Yeah, they do. Well, Allie, where are you located? Are you also in Los Angeles?
I'm right outside of LA, but yeah, we originally were like living, when we moved out from New York 10 years ago, we were living in the city. And now because of having, you know, two little ones and everything else in life, we're outside of the city. But yeah, we're right outside of LA.
Got it. So where I am right now, I mean, I think I talked about it a little bit in the last episode that I recorded, but so, you know, we've been in quarantine for 6 months. We haven't really gone anywhere except to go camping, and the kids are doing distance learning, and it's been really relentless and intense. And I feel like lately I haven't been talking about it too much because the last 6 months have been so relentless and intense. And I know how exhausted I am from it. And I almost feel bad talking about it on the show because I feel like a broken record. Like, it's just like, well, here we are. It's still a fucking pandemic and I'm still in my fucking house with these lunatics. But now there are all these wildfires. So it's not only like 90 degrees outside and there's a pandemic that is like large and in charge in the Los Angeles area. You know, I have friends in Minneapolis where I grew up. They're posting pictures. They're like, they're going to school in real life, and they're like hanging out with friends and going to parties. And oh my God, I'm just,
I feel for you, because it's same with us. Like, most of California is pretty much locked down. I know we're not like locked down, but we're in quarantine still. Like, everyone's being very, you know, careful to their bubbles. So if we, especially obviously being pregnant in quarantine and then having a baby, you know, during the pandemic.
Oh my God, you had a baby during the pandemic.
Yes, I did. I had a baby during the pandemic. And when Arlie was born, the riots broke out when I was at Cedar.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, that'll be a fun story to tell her down the road. By the way, this is how you were born. I'll never forget. We were like in our, you know, we had just been moved over to our postpartum room, and you know, while we're like gazing at Arlie, and it's like just, you know, the beginning moments, and they come running in and they're like, we're gonna shut the vents in here because there's smoke coming in, so we're gonna close them. And we just look at them like, huh? And we turn on the news and every single station is just fire in a blaze. I have to laugh because I was like ready to cry. And it was like just fire everywhere, riots, mayhem. Justin looks out the window and he's like, oh yeah, look at all the police lined up outside. Like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, welcome to the world, Arlie. And honestly, Betsy, that's how she was named. Like, we had been debating on all different A names because I wanted to do another A after Amelia was an A, and I'm an A, and so I selfishly want, like, you know, A girls. And so I was like, okay, I had all these names written out in my phone. We were going back and forth. And we started looking up the meanings behind different names. And Arlie in Hebrew, because I'm half Jewish, means promise. And I was like, all right, baby girl, you are the promise of a sweet new world. So that's going to be your name. And so that's how we named her.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. Oh my God, Allie, are you guys doing Rosh Hashanah? Because we've never celebrated Rosh Hashanah. And I'm feeling like I think it's tomorrow and I haven't planned anything. But there's like this Martha Stewart Pinterest part of me that's like, I gotta make a brisket and I gotta like do a whole bunch of fucking stuff because we gotta teach our kids their, you know, cultural heritage. And oh boy, I'm just not on the ball.
Oh my God, I'm not on the ball either. Are you kidding? No, first off, being totally real, my husband does most of the cooking. I am not a cook. I would say I'm a pretty bad cook. Last night he was making meatballs and he asked me to turn them over in the oven because he was helping put something together for Amelia. And I was I was having trouble turning them over, and I was like, is it okay that some of them are like breaking? Because, and he's like, well, try not to have them break. I am so not that mom, like straight up. So no, I am not thinking of making a brisket or.
Man, if I make it happen, it's going to be real last minute. I don't know. I mean, although it's also not like our kids are going to be like, I mean, first of all, they're never going to be like, hey, we never celebrated Rosh Hashanah, which is something we've never fucking done in the first place. And even if we do it in like a week, they're not going to be like, wait a second, Rosh Hashanah was 7 days ago. And, you know, like, they're not going to fuck. I don't know.
No, they're not. They're not. And you could totally probably like 2 weeks from now be like, hey, it's Rosh Hashanah. We're going to do it because, you know, it's the first one in the pandemic. Why not? I mean, I feel like honestly right now, especially all of us being like that are in California and are living this, I feel like it's like anything goes. Like, there are mornings where we freaking sleep in till 11 in the morning and it's like, oh, well, that's what we did. Like, you know, it's like, it's just, this is straight up survival mode. Like, this is not obviously our normal world. This is not, you know, what anyone could have ever expected. And then you add the fires, like you said, same with us. The air was so bad the last few days, so smoky. I couldn't even take the girls for a walk because it was so nasty. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, add all the things and you're just like, oh, okay. So I'm just going to stay at home in my little bubble and try not to lose my mind and get on the 100 Zoom call today. And
that's what's been really, that's one of the main things that's been breaking me is just that it's been, like you said, it was sort of like anything goes, this is just survival. But we've been doing that for 6 months. It's so exhausting. And like you said, now the air quality is such where we live, we can't go outside. So we can't go anywhere already because of pandemic. And then we can't go outside to take walks or to play in the backyard because the air quality is so bad from these fires. And it's just so enormous and just it's relentless, and it's that has been breaking me. So you know Mindy Kaling. She was on The Office. She is from The Mindy Project. She's an actor. She's a comedian. She's hilarious. And she's also a best-selling author. She's actually had 2 best-selling memoirs all about her sort of awkward coming of age. Well, now Mindy Kaling is a mom, and she has written a new short story collection called Nothing Like I Imagined. It's all about how she's juggling the demands of her career with the demands of new motherhood. She's sharing the ups and downs of being her own husband. It's 6 hilarious short audio stories from Amazon Original Stories, and they're all written and narrated by Mindy. You can listen on the go because it's available in audio and ebook format. And this is very exciting. If you are an Amazon Prime member, you can listen and you can read for free. So download it today at amazon.com/Mindy Stories. That's amazon.com/Mindy Stories. And check out Nothing Like I Imagined. Our sponsor this week is Bombas. Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. That is quite a claim. But I have to say, Amanda and I agree. They have a really great product. They've literally rethought every little detail of socks that we wear to make them way more comfortable. My favorite Bombas are the little slipper socks. They're cotton. They fit great. They're not too tight. They're not too loose. And because they're cotton, they feel really good. But these socks do more than just keep your feet cozy. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community. Because for every pair of socks that you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 34 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of 3,000 giving partners. And the impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, a small comfort that's especially important right now. So give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/WMD. That's Bombas, like we're the bomb, bombas.com/WMD for 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/WMD. get cozy. So let's see. So my kids are obsessed with this YouTube thing where you run song lyrics through Google Translate, and then you it's like, haha, like, check out Google Translate thought that this, you know, these words meant this, and it's like, you know, inappropriate, nonsensical, insane. And there's this woman on YouTube that they love watching her channel, and she does it with all kinds of songs, like, she, you know, all sorts of popular songs, and she'll just run it through Google Translate a bunch of times, and then she'll sing these new lyrics to the regular tune, and they just love it, and they think it's so funny. But so now my now 10-year-old, oh my god, that's so crazy. You know, like, when they have a birthday, and then you're like, oh wow, now I have to say this. Okay, so my 10-year-old, he made his own one for some song called, like, Big Shaq, or maybe the artist is called Big Shaq. I don't exactly know. That Peppa Pig is involved. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, the kids are obsessed with this Big Shaq song called, like, Not Hot. I don't understand. I'm 100 years old, Allie. I don't know. So he ran that song through Google Translate, and then he wrote it all down, and it's probably like a full page of just nonsense. And so I had just done bedtime. I had just found out that I had to do some work. I had to put on a face of, it was like 9 p.m. I had to put on makeup, do my hair, set up a whole fucking thing so that I could act out a scene for an audition and then send it in. So it's like 9 p.m., the end of a long day. I'm doing, you know, fucking bedtime with three kids alone, and I'm just like over fucking everything. And the last thing I want to do now is go tap dance hard for a job in, you know, full hair and makeup. But so bedtime is finally over, and I'm like, thank God it's over. I can get to this work so I can, like, be done with this fucking day. And as I'm, like, leaving the room, So I'm, like, rushing around trying to get this set up, like, because actors are auditioning from home, you have to have, like, your whole, like, fucking setup, like, your whole video. So I've got a light, and I've got to set up my camera a certain way, and I've got to find a place in the room where I can set up this, like, backdrop, because there's no place in my house that has, like, one big, you know, blank wall. So you've got to, like, cover it all up, and it's a whole fucking thing. So I'm rushing in and out of my room trying to figure this out and trying to get ready. And my son, my 10-year-old, comes out of his room, and he's like, I want you to read this, this translation of Big Shaq's Not Hot song. And I'm like, oh, sweetie, I can't right now. I'm trying to get some work done. You know, it's late. And he's like, come on, just look at it. It's going to take 2 seconds. And he's, like, really mad. And he hands me a phone. I don't even know why he had a fucking phone. He hands me a phone. He's like, just read it. It's funny. And I look at it, and it's just fucking nonsense. And not only is it nonsense, but it's like, like, some of it is, like, inappropriate. Like, there's, like, the word bitch is in there, and, like, there's like, reference to assault. Like, it was just, like, so inappropriate. So I look at this long thing of gibberish, and he wants me to read it, and his expectation is that I'm going to read this and think it is also super funny. But I'm like, I got so much to do right now. All I want to do is just relax. And it, you know, the relentlessness of everything, and I'm just like, no, Rex, I can't. I look at it, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't look at this right now. I can't do this right now. And he got so angry at me and was like yelling at me, like, you can't just look at something for 1 minute, like it's only gonna take 10 seconds. It's not 10 seconds worth of reading. And I found out later that it was actually something that he had translated. So I think that was part of it, is that he just, he was like, I did this. I think it's funny. It's emulating this thing that I like. But, you know, and I felt bad because I wasn't supporting him in that moment, but also like, I'm not fucking interested. It's hard because they want you to be interested in stuff that is really boring or stuff that you like really actively don't like. And it wasn't even just that it was a Google Translate of a song that I knew and I could be like, yeah, that is funny that that they thought this lyric was this, but it was to a song that I didn't even know. So it wasn't, there was no way for it to be funny. And you know, as my husband and I are both comedians, and so we are often asked in our house by our children, like, isn't this funny? Or, and it rarely is. And I guess that just really broke me. I was just like, I'm done with the fucking day. I'm done with bedtime. I don't want to look at this thing. It's not funny. I want to leave my house.
It sounds like I'm listening to you and I'm like literally getting emotional for you, because it sounds like it was just like so much. And then it was like you finally felt like you got everything handled for bedtime. Like, okay, that's done. Check that off my list. Now I can deal with my shit. I got to deal with this. I don't even want to like turn it on and get this together and the whole thing because I'm exhausted. And then it's like, oh, and now I have to handle this. And I'm trying to like be supportive of you. And I'm trying to like be present to you. But like, really, I just don't give a shit right now. I'm trying to deal with my own shit. And you're just breaking me because like, I just cannot give to you right now. And like, I feel for you because there's so many days where you're just like, especially right now in this freaking world, it's like, I can't give to you anymore. I can't even give to my freaking self. Forget you.
Yes. Thank you, Allie. You just summarized everything I just said, everything I felt. And I feel like validated and seen. I really, that sounds sarcastic.
Right now, like, oh my, I feel for you listening. Like, I literally, like, I was sitting there. I didn't want you to think I wasn't like there, but I was like sitting there, like, engrossly listening, like, oh my gosh, like that, there's just so much. And that's the thing. It's like, we all feel like that right now, right? It's like, there's so much going on. There's so much to do. We're all freaking doing like the best we can right now. It's like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, dude, if you're not like thriving, as long as you're surviving, like that's all that matters. Like, there are days where I feel like, yes, I got these million things done and okay, cool. And I'm super mom. And then there's so many days where I don't feel like that. And I'm like, I'm barely surviving. I can't even get out of bed. I'm trying to nurse. I've got milk spilled all over me. Oh, there's poop on my foot. Oh, Amelia's running around all the place. There's shit on the floor. The cat just threw up. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like, there's so much going on. And then because we're in our homes and like not really getting a new environment, I think it's just becoming so much more intense and multiplied, because it's like, our home is our safe haven, right? Like, we all love our homes, but like, how much do you love your home when this is like, oh, this is no longer just your safe haven, this is now your jail, your prison? Like, I hate saying that because it's like, I know everyone's like, safe at home, stay safe at home, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Like, I'm grateful to be home and be healthy and be with my family. But like, let's be real. It's freaking hard. And like, we're all in the same, you know, bubbles together. I mean, look, my husband had like at night, like there's some nights where we're like, we'll hang out and we'll watch a movie and we'll like hang out together. And there's some nights where he's like, I am exhausted. Work was hard. I just want to freaking play my video games, have a, you know, a drink, tune out and like be done. And it's like, all right, cool. Then like, that's what you need to do. I'm going to go to my office while the baby's taking a little nap. I'm going to, you know, do some emails. I'm going to go watch a show. Like, every freaking day is different. And it's like, I think that's the big message, right? It's like, different things are going to freaking break you at a different level right now, especially. And you have to just be like, it's okay, because it's just what it is right now. So like, I completely feel for you, and hearing you say that, like, I'm sitting there getting agitated for you. Like, she doesn't want to look at it. Just don't show her. She doesn't want to look at it. Oh my God.
I wish you could have just popped out of the closet that day and she doesn't want to look at it.
Stop it.
Yeah, and I feel bad too because they are all, you know, they are also experiencing these things, certainly with different worries and different anxieties. But so, like, I want also, Ari was saying, my husband Ari was like, you know, normally they would be able to share with peers or like with their school, you know, classmates, they would be able to be like, haha, check this out, but they can't do that. So they only have us to do that with. And so I was like, oh no, like now I feel extra bad because they're like lonely and isolated and all they want to do is just show this stupid thing to someone. But yeah, it's man, I was thinking back, Allie, to when you were saying you were in the hospital and you had just given birth, and I remember at that moment in time how I was emotionally, just with the just with the quarantine and with distance learning at the time in the spring was just like an absolute like fucking nightmare, and then with protests and everything that was going on in our country at that time, and that was breaking me like really hard. Like I was kind of catatonic. I was having a really rough time then, and just imagining that you on top of that then were giving birth and coming home with a newborn and healing, you know, it's like fucking I salute you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, listen, it totally broke me. I mean, so first off, being pregnant in quarantine was a shit show. I mean, just feeling like you literally, you know, you already feel like you can't move just being pregnant, right? You're so huge. You know, you can't move. You feel like you just want to lay in bed the whole time. Obviously, that can't happen with a toddler. So I'm, you know, doing the best I can do. I mean, I'll never forget before quarantine, just in first trimester, I was sick as a dog. You know, Justin was at work, you know, normal life. And I just remember like trying to play with Amelia and laying on the mat, like her play mat, and just laying there like, oh my God, like this is breaking me. Like, oh my God, I can barely even like roll over to like play tea with you because I have to run and throw up every 2 seconds. And like, I could barely even like do anything for you. How the hell am I going to manage too? And thank God, you know, that, you know, feeling passed in the sense of the, you know, after 20 or 21 weeks, my nausea finally went away, but it was just so intense for me. And then, you know, you go into quarantine. And now it's like, okay, I can barely move. I'm trying to handle you and handle the house and do all the things and somewhat do a little bit of work and whatever. And it was just so freaking intense for me. And it was so, like you just said, like catatonic. Like there were days where it was like, do I really have to move? Do I really have to like get out of bed? Because I am so just out of it. Like I can't even think about it. And you know, I think for me, when I was really like feeling that like heaviness, I had to like really, after having a screaming moment and crying and like all these things, I had to really like say to myself, like, okay, am I going to cry through the rest of this pregnancy and quarantine? Because like, this seems to be my reality. This isn't changing. Or am I going to try to do something about it? And I was so grateful that Justin, you know, was home at that point. You know, they had moved everybody home from the offices. And so he was able to step in and help with Amelia and give me a little bit more space. But like, I mean, it was really hard. And I had to honestly like decide that at one point I was no longer going to cry about it that much anymore. And I was going to just kind of surrender to it and just say, well, you know what? Fuck it. I'm home. And, you know, I'm just here and I got to stay in a somewhat of a positive mindset because I've got a baby inside of me. And, you know, I believe, you know, in energy and everything. And so I was trying really to stay positive for her. So I think for me, like every time I would feel super broken and everything, I would just go to my journal and like write out a few things I was grateful for, even if it was like, literally, I would cry over it and write it down. It was just like, okay, a reminder of like little things to keep me not feeling so broken because everything was so freaking heavy.
That sounds like a really healthy way to deal with shit, to write it down in a journal. I was just
it's a work in progress.
Daydreaming.
Oh, I didn't have that choice. Man. I was pregnant.
I remember, you know? Allie, the being pregnant with a toddler, how hard that was. And And on top of that, I remember feeling like you were saying, like, you couldn't really move. You were so exhausted. I also remember feeling really guilty. Like, I wanted to give you a sibling, like, and I thought it was a gift. Now I'm seeing, like, oh no, it's actually, you know, taking me from you, and I can't enjoy this time. And it was just like guilt on top of exhaustion. And that's such a challenging life transition. And I think, well, on top of it, if it was, you know, as soon as we were quarantining as well, stuff that you might rely on normally, for example, some people have someone come and clean their house. And, you know, you all of a sudden you couldn't have that. And so it was like, you know, there was a lot more on everyone's plate in terms of childcare and housework and even just like feeding your family. All that stuff was kind of dumped on everyone in a big way, in a new and unexpected way, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally unexpected. And thank you for saying that about, you know, the toddler also. Like, I felt the same way. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, especially because it's another girl and you have a sister and this and that. And then when, you know, especially in the beginning, now we're getting somewhat slowly into a rhythm. But in the beginning, as much as Amelia loves Arlie and we want to hold her every 2 seconds and, you know, and oh, my baby sister, and so sweet and so nurturing, she still really wants me. And so it was like so hard for me some days to like sit there and not be able to give to her and just be like, I need you to play right now. I need you to go play in your kitchen. Mama has to feed Arlie. Like, Arlie's nursing a lot right now. I really need you to, you know, and I would feel so bad because all she'd want would be just to sit on top of me basically, and like, you know, basically if she could get back on the boob and, you know, just be there with me. And I'm like, Amelia, not right now. I really have to deal with Arlie. Like, Arlie's really fussy. We had like 5 poop explosions. Like, I'm exhausted. It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Lady friend, I have been there. Oh my God. I feel that. I was like in a time machine with you just now.
Ugh. Oh God. I'm sorry to take you back to that then. Oh my God.
Well, those of you listening who are in that time machine, in real time, I salute you, fucking caw-caw, cause that's a challenging place to be.
It is. It's intense, you know, especially like you said, in this time where everything's just like you're home and there's no real like true escape. It's like, holy crap, I'm really in the shit.
Yeah, honestly, I had been when quarantine started in the spring, I was so stressed out. So I had actually I had quit drinking for like 3 months, and because it was like my only way of coping, just with all the pressure and stress and fear and anxiety. I was drinking so much. But also like, fucking, I miss drinking so much. And part of me was like, well, am I quitting forever? Am I just quitting for now? Like, am I just taking a step back, you know, to make sure that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I am with that. But yeah, it's hard.
I mean, look, it's hard. And I feel like at this time, there really is no right or wrong answer, right? Like, nobody knows.
Right.
We all have no freaking clue. Like you said, this was originally, hey, it's going to be just a little bit as we get things worked out and all good. And now we're here 6 months later going, holy crap, is this how 2020 is going to end? And it's like the scary reality is maybe, you know what I mean? Like, maybe. And so it's just like, what the hell are you supposed to do and think in that, right? Like, if you can't feel like you're really going back to way, you know, you used to be, you're going to feel freaking broken. It's going to feel heavy. You're going to feel like, oh my God, like this, like you just said, like, you're just like catatonic. You're in the shit. Like, how do I feel better? And it's like, look, there's some days I do feel better and I'm like, thank God for those days. And then there's some days where I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. I can't believe I have 202 in this time. Like, thank God my husband is home because I'm losing my shit. And it's just, it's crazy, you know? And it's like, I think we all have to be real with ourselves and say, like, it's okay to freaking be broken, because like right now I kind of feel like 2020 is broken.
Yes, 100%. Yes, I'm glad that you said that, because yeah, I think it's hard too, because we're not all over the world or even in the States, like all kind of synced up with each other. Some people are, like I said, like some of my Facebook friends are, they're going to school, they're going to parties. And then some of us are like not leaving our house, not going grocery shopping in person. So it's also hard, because for some people, life is kind of, I think, kind of back to normal. And then for some of us, we're still in this thing. And it's hard, because then we're culturally, we're kind of like, well, everything's fine, right? Like, we're all kind of back to normal. And so, like, we're all kind of trying to work, and it's kind of business, you know, like, as normal. What is this? What, business as normal? Is that a saying?
Right. As normal, right? Yeah, okay, sure. No, and I know what you're saying. I mean, and you make a good point, but it's like, and even, you know, other parts of the country, sure, whatever, they're doing something different. But the thing is like, let's be real, even the ones that are like, quote unquote, open, everyone still feels that heaviness. Like, I've talked to so many people on social media from all different states and even other countries, and they're like, it still feels weird. It's still, you're still like kind of distancing. You're still like, you know, maybe not with your own bubble, but like with everybody else. You're still kind of wondering, like, is it done? Are we good? What's happening? Like, there's just so much, I feel like, uncertainty, and so much also shifting and changing, that I just think that there's just a lot, you know, and it's like, we're all just kind of in it and are like, okay, well, I'm just doing the best I can. And like, that's the best I can do. But I kind of feel like at the same time, you know, with this pandemic and everything, and like, you know, you being a mom of three, especially, probably can like relate to this. It's like, in a way, this brokenness of what this pandemic has done, it's kind of like the same shit you, when you first enter into motherhood. Like, you just feel like everything is out of control. Nothing is in your control. Yes. Every day is different. Everything's shook up for you. You don't have an answer to anything. Everything's uncertain, and you're just trying to survive.
Yeah. You are so right. 100%. Do you experience stress or have anxiety or chronic pain or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? You are not alone, because we all are also living in 2020. Personally, I have been having so much trouble unwinding and going to sleep at night. I have been searching for anything that could help, and then I discovered Feels. So Feels is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. It comes in this little vial. You place a few drops of Feels under your tongue, and then you feel the difference within minutes. There's no high, there's no hangover or addiction. It just works naturally to help you feel better. And if you're new to CBD and you're not sure how much to take, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help you guide your personal experience. So join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel anytime. Become a member today by going to feels.com/WMD, and you will get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, FEALS.com/WMD, to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/WMD. By now, you've heard me talk about Pros, the world's most personalized hair care. Well, I wanted to share some updates since using the custom formulas that Pros sent me. Spoiler alert, it is the real deal. It's a shame I'm not going anywhere these days, because my hair looks amazing. It's shiny, it's smooth, it's soft. I really like their dry shampoo. It's a powder instead of a spray, so usually every time I've used dry shampoo in the past, you have to like spray your head and then leave the bathroom, because you don't want to stand there inhaling all this like spray dry shampoo. But the Pros dry shampoo, you just like pump this powder into your hair and then you're good to go. They also sent me this hair mask. It's like a conditioner that you put on before you get into the shower. And I use it when my hair has really been through the wringer with sun and the curling iron and the hair dryer. I use that and I'm right as rain. Pros knows there's more to you than just your hair type. Pros has given over 1 million consultations with their in-depth hair quiz, which is how I got started. They ask you questions about your eating habits, what you're doing with your hair every day, where you live. So I live in Southern California. So I'm guessing that sun damage works into the equation when it comes to my hair care. And it's funny I say equation because they have an algorithm with over 50 billion formula combinations. And Pros will determine a unique blend of ingredients to treat your exact concerns. And it actually shows up with your name on it. So you know, this is for you. They also have a review and refine feature, which lets you tweak your formulas for any reason. Like if I move to Alaska, or I start bleaching my hair, or maybe my diet changes. And if you are not 100% positive that Pros is the best hair care you've had, they'll take the products back, no questions asked. But I do truly believe that you are gonna love Pros. It's a healthy hair regimen with your name all over it, literally. Take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/WMD. That's Pros, PROSE.com/WMD for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off. Allie, please, can you please tell me what has broken you? I would like to hear.
Oh my gosh. I mean, well, we just talked about so many things that have been breaking me lately. but I would say, okay, this is like kind of it's a pretty funny story. And now I laugh because I'm like, oh my God, really? That's what broke you? Like, especially now in the world, but it did before all of this. okay. I've got two, and one of them is pretty, I would say it's pretty vulnerable, and I'm probably going to get a lot of like, oh, you're a bad mom and shame and snap, but whatever. We're going to be really real here. But we'll start with the other one first. So the first one was I was at an event back in the world when there were events in LA. And I was at one of my mom tribe events with Fashion Mom, who was one of my groups. And I was super pregnant. And, you know, it was like one of my last events before I knew I was going to kind of be cooped up. Not at this level, but I was going to be more just kind of starting to take it a little bit easier and be home. And so, like, I, you know, got myself all glam, wore like a really cute dress to like accentuate the bump, and cute shoes, glasses, whole nine yards. And I had Amelia because, you know, I'm out of my mind and figure, oh, I'll take her to the event with me. And,
I think I can see where this is going.
I'll paint you a little picture. And so, listen, we get in the car, we drive to LA because we live outside of LA, no traffic somehow, thank God, or like not anything crazy where we're like sitting and she's pissed off. Everything's cool. We get there. She's still good. She's happy. She took a little nap in the car. I get her a snack. I'm like, oh, good. Everything's good. Like, we're flowing. This is good. We'll be here for a little bit and then we'll leave. Oh, no, 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 no. I get her in the stroller. 2 seconds later, she has like a full blown meltdown, and she's not one to melt down. So I was like, what's the problem? What's going on? What's the problem? And I'm like, Amelia, I'm like, what's wrong? Talk to me. I'm tired. I'm like, okay, so take a nap in the stroller. It's okay. No, she's throwing a fit. She's kicking her shoes off. Of course, I put her in like a cute outfit. She's trying to like, you know, get out of it. I'm like,
wait,
oh,
really quick,
no.
Allie, are you there alone, or did your husband?
Oh, no, 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 I'm there alone. I'm there alone. I straight up am out of my mind by myself. I think he was at work. I was at an event. I took her.
Wait, and what kind of event are we talking? Like, what, set the stage here.
Okay, so it was a mom event. So, like, it wasn't unexpected to bring your child. Like, it was definitely optional if we wanted to or not. But it was a panel. Probably should have thought about that. you know, but, like, my tribe, you know, this mom tribe, they're very cool about, you know, they get it. Like, you know, bring your kid, you know, that kind of thing. And in my mind, like, she had been to other events. So I'm like, oh, it's cool. I don't know if it was just, you know, it was a hot day because I was so pregnant and I was like so, you know, involved with my own shit. I don't know what it was. She was not feeling the vibes. We got there. It was like meltdown from the minute we got there. I'll never forget. She's in the stroller and she's flipping, right? Like wants to get out, kicking and kicking. I'm like strolling her out every 2 seconds so that you don't hear her flipping in the panel. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even listen to what's happening right now. And by the way, like I've got, you know, acid reflux, like out the wazoo from my pregnancy. I'm tired. I'm, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm in heels like an asshole. You know, I mean, I'm just like, exhausted.
You're wearing heels. Oh, God. I can't even wear heels when I'm not pregnant and if I'm not with a child. Oh, my God.
Listen, I love my heels. Like, I'm crazy, but I love my freaking heels. So I was like, I'll be damned if I'm gonna be wearing, you know, flats. So I'm there in my heels, and I'm like exhausted, and you know, she's flipping, and I, you know, walk out, and I'm like, Amelia, please calm down. Mama has to listen to a little bit more. I'll get you a snack, and then we'll go home. And she's like, okay. So I get her a snack, and you know, we're sitting there, and she's quiet for a few minutes, and then she starts throwing all the snack over the floor during the panel, and I'm trying to grab it and pick it up. And you know, my other moms are sitting next to me laughing at me. They brought, like, you know, left their kids home. And
wait, now, you're just listening, right? You're not like on a stage.
No. I was not on a stage. I was listening. God. Oh, God, help me. No. I was not that insane. I was sitting listening, but I was pretty close because I knew some of the speakers and this and that. And so she's throwing shit everywhere, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm dripping sweating, by the way, at this point, because I've been running and grabbing everything and doing all the things. And I'm sitting there looking at her, and I'm like, Amelia, please. I'm like, just like calm down. We're gonna leave soon. You know, starts kicking again, starts getting all fussy, and I'm like, Amelia. And she's like, looks at me, and I'm like, Amelia. I'm like, what do you need? And she's like, I want to get out. And I'm like, if I get you out, you have to sit here with me. I should have known better. Like, really, Ali, really? I'm like, me saying this out loud is me laughing at myself. So I unbuckle her. And she takes off and goes running from the panel room. So I'm running in my heels like an asshole in my dress, running. I leave the panel. I run out. I'm like literally like ready to strangle her at this point. I run out. I look at the photographer who was taking pictures of the event. She's like, oh, she ran up the stairs. And I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. There's this whole flight of stairs in this building. Like, I'm talking like massively high. There's no elevator. And I'm like, she went up the stairs, and I'm and she's not even like, you know, I'm trying to think like how old was she? She was just maybe no, she wasn't two yet because the pandemic. No. So it was right before she was like two. So she wasn't even two yet. And she,
which also means that her on stairs is probably
exactly
still,
that's
like,
that's my point of saying that. Like, it was like horrifying. What do you mean she would have all these stairs? And so I'm running up these stairs. I rip my heels off. I throw my heels. I don't even know where the hell I threw them. I run up the stairs and go up and grab her, and she will not come down. I'm picking her up, and she's holding onto the banister and screaming, and she's holding onto the stairs. And I'm like, oh, my God. So now it's loud. I'm sweating. I'm sweating with this huge bump. I'm like, can barely move. I'm trying to grab her. I'm trying to hold her. Like, I'm trying not to fall over and, like, God forbid, fall on my belly. Oh, I mean, God. It was like, oh my God. I mean, it took like 20 minutes to finally coerce her down the stairs. I literally had to go step by step. Like, she would not let me pick her up. So it was like, I stayed behind her as she went down each step. It was like, oh my God, I was ready to like lose my mind. I finally get her down the stairs. I put her back in the stroller. I strap her in. I'm like, that's it. You're not getting out anymore. This is ridiculous. I'm like, you didn't, you know, I am so mad at you. I put her, you know, to the side. I go back in the panel. I'm like apologizing. I'm like, I gotta go. Like, there's no way I could be here. She's just way too much right now. And they're like, it's fine. You know, don't worry about it. You know, you do what you gotta do. And so I go to leave, and I'm like, you know, strolling her out. And she starts grabbing things as I'm moving the stroller off the table, and things are just flying off the table. And I'm like, oh my God. And I look at them, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, it's okay, just go. And I'm looking at them like, I'm so sorry. And I'm trying to pick things up as I'm grabbing them. And then, by the way, this is even better. The photographer walks over to me and hands me my shoes because I forgot to put my shoes back on. And I'm just like, I look like a freaking train wreck. Can I just tell you, I took like the most cute selfie of myself, like in the car. And then I look at myself when I get back in the car, and it's like mascara's under my eyes. My lips are all smeared. I look like hot mess central. My feet are swollen. I'm a mess. I think I have dirt on me from climbing up the stairs. I mean, it was like, oh my God. I went from like cute to hot mess train wreck. Like, it was just OMG. And then getting her in the car was a whole production. Like, her. So, oh yeah. So back up. So now I have to go back down to the parking lot to put her in the car. And the elevator is not working, of course, to go back down.
Oh my God.
And so I'm looking for someone. I know. I'm crying at this point. And I'm looking for someone. And I'm like looking around. I'm trying to signal someone. And finally, I find someone that works there. And they're like, oh, sorry. The main elevator is not working. And the stairs are all the way on the other side. It's kind of far for you. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I like did not have the energy, Betsy, to like go all the way around. Well,
oh, my God. Shit like that makes me so... Oh my God. Cause I used to live in New York City and would take my kid to auditions, sometimes both of them. And I really relied on elevators because otherwise a stroller and little kids, it was just insane. And I wonder all the time about people who are in wheelchairs. How are they they must go places and people are like, oh, I'm sorry, it's out of order. Oopsies. Like, it's a huge pain in the ass for us, but I can't even imagine if that's your only option. Ugh.
No, it's, and you're right. It's like terrible. Like, how is that allowed? How do you not have something else to be able to like help? I mean, I looked at the guy and I was like, you're shitting me, right? And he's like, sorry, it's not working. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, could you help me like then maybe get the stroller down a different way? And he like looks at me like, oh, sorry, not my problem, lady. You know, and I'm like, oh my God.
Really? So, he wouldn't help you.
I know. And I'm like hugely pregnant. I mean, like this bump was not like hiding, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, and I've got Amelia and the whole thing. So, okay, it gets better though. So I'm supposed to go around. He tells me to go all the way around to the other side. And I'm exhausted. It's hot. She's pissed off. Everything's just a mess. And I'm like, there's no way I'm getting it to the other side. I got to figure out something else. So I go over to this other guy and I'm like, is there any other way besides walking all the way down there and walking around? And he's like, well, there's like the, what the hell are they called? The little like, you know, the tiny little elevators, like the freight elevators, the tiny little,
So yeah, he's why like, wasn't that fucking open for people?
Right. So I said, I'm like, can I use that? And he's like, oh, I guess so. And I'm like, okay, thank you so much. I'm like, I really, really appreciate it. Like, I'm like, I really like, I just need to get her home, get out of the heat and stuff. And he's like, all right. I think he's like,
I am so mad for you about that first guy who wouldn't help you and was just like, I don't know, like, eat shit.
Right, pretty much. Like, not my problem. It's your problem, you know? And so this guy, like, you know, he's like, all right, no problem, you know, whatever. Puts me on the freight elevator. Well, shit you not, the freight elevator stopped working halfway down.
No.
Oh, yeah. And we got stuck going down. And so here I am, like, now full-blown crying, trying to like not, I have my big sunglasses on so my daughter can't see I'm full-blown crying because she's in a panic and I'm trying to pretend like everything's fine. So I'm singing a song as I'm crying and trying to keep her calm to be like, it's okay, everything's good, we're good, we're good. Meanwhile, I know we're stuck. It's not moving. I know, right? I know. Cry, laugh, like, oh my God. And I'm like hitting the button. I'm hitting the button. Nothing's happening. I finally hit like the emergency button over and over and over again. And finally someone answers and they're like, yes. And I'm like, hi, we're stuck. It is not going up. It is not going down. Like, we are just stuck in the middle. And he's like, all right, give me a second. Well, a second turns into like literally 5 minutes. And then finally this guy comes and he like resets it, brings it all the way back up. And he's like, I guess it's not working. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yes. And so I'm like, and now we're like late to the next thing I was supposed to get to, of course, because I'm an idiot. And
oh my God, there was another thing to get to?
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm an idiot and I've scheduled something else that day because I'm in my mind, I'm like, oh, you know, we could just handle it. Sure. Okay. And so, I come back up. You thank God we get out of this freaking freight elevator because I was having a claustrophobic freaking moment. Yeah. And we get up there and he's like, you're going to have to go around. So after all that, I go all the way around and it's like freaking blocks on blocks on blocks. Mm. And I get finally into the parking garage and I get in the parking garage and I get her out of the stroller and I put her in the car seat and she's asleep, thank God, at this point. And so she's chill. And now my stroller decides that it's not going to like fold up and go in the trunk. And
no.
I'm like, oh my God, I fold this folder, this stroller like every day. Like, come on. And it's just not happening. And I'm like, I'm about to leave this freaking stroller at this place. And I'm like trying to shove it in. And I think this guy saw me like losing my mind. And he's like, comes over and he's like, can I help you? My wife and I, can we help you? Like, you know, I'm like, oh yes, thank you, sure, please help me. And, you know, and of course part of me is like, no, don't help me, because I'm like, no, I don't know you, you're a stranger. And then the other part
of me, you are past that at this point.
Exactly, right, exactly. I had that like split second of like, oh my God, should I? And then it was like, okay, I'm losing my mind. Like, I need to get the hell out of here. And he did have his, you know, it seemed like his wife and everything. And so I was like, okay, all right, okay.
I do love though that it's like, it's like, well, this could be Ted Bundy, but you know, yes, what? It's exactly. Been a bit right. of a day.
But yeah, okay, we're going to take the help. oh my God. And so he gets it in. It had gotten like something gotten like locked or whatever on the wheel. And so made me feel better. They like took him a second and then he got it. I think I was so worked up, Betsy, that I couldn't like see that it was like locked or whatever. And so
yeah,
I
yeah, of course. Him. Like you, know? You were. Oh. I was yeah, and you red. Had pregnancy like, brain. You had mom brain. You had pregnancy brain. You had flops exactly. wet. Your feet were hurt. Like, that's awful.
It was just like, I was just seeing red. I was having my own toddler tantrum. It was just crazy. And so it was just, you know, that all, and then I finally get in the car and I remember I called my husband. I was like, hey, we're not going to make it to the next event. I'm going to come home. I'm going to give you Amelia. I need to lay down. I'm upset. I'm exhausted. And he was just like, okay. Like what's going on? I was like, I can't talk about it right now. I'll tell you later when I come home. Like, I just need to get home. And so I cried and got in my bathtub and was just, you know, I just felt so broken by that whole moment. And also I think by further broken by the fact that I couldn't handle, excuse you, Ivy. And I'm going to, okay. 1 second.
No worries. Oh my gosh. I love everything about that story. I'm so sorry that happened to you, but also I love that you were, you said to your husband, like, I'm done. This is what I need from you. This is what I need to give myself. And you like gave yourself what you needed, which, you know, we're not all always amazing at, but I also loved, I actually wrote down in front of me, pretending everything is fine. And then at some point in your story, you actually said, I was pretending like everything is fine. We think we're like told, we're like sold this bill of goods, right? That we're supposed to be able to do everything. And like, if we can't do everything with grace and beauty, that we're like failing. It's all right. I'm just going to pause for a minute.
What's wrong? Are you getting like anxiety for my story? But no, you're right. Everything is fine, and we pretend that, you know, everything is, you know, all good and happening, and it's like that's just not always the case. And you know, and it's hard to voice like, hey, I just need to go lay down, or I just need to go get in the freaking bath, or I just need to have a drink. Like, yeah. You know, it's like we feel guilty that we're supposed to keep pretending everything's fine and everything's supposed to just keep going on. But it's like, but we feel broken. And then, you know, it's like, I think what broke me more, Betsy, about that whole situation was, for me, it was like, oh my God, how am I going to be able to have two when I'm dealing with this pregnant and I have a toddler, and this didn't go the way I thought it was going to today. And I think that's what really broke me. I mean, the story was intense in itself, but that night crying in the tub was the fact that it was like, wow, how am I going to freaking do this? You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, it was such a breaking moment for me, and like a learning moment, I guess, to be like, okay, well, guess what? You're not going to be all crazy trying to get yourself, you know, all together with heels, with this, with that. Like, it was a real, like, breaking moment, but, like, teaching moment.
Yeah, you had it in your mind how it was going to be. You were like, I'm going to be a fabulous mom who gets shit done, who shows up looking a certain way, you know, glamorous and put together. I'm going to show up with my daughter. She's not going to scream. And like, I'm going to be able to do it all. And then it's so hard when the universe is like, no, bitch, you ain't. And you're going to look a certain way that you do not want to look. And things are not going to go the way you want. and you're not going to be able to do the things that you thought you could do or achieve, you know, in a certain way. It's really hard, especially when you are used to doing certain, you know, things a certain way and living a certain way. And sometimes motherhood is just like, no, I've got other plans, and the way you want to do shit, that's not how it's going to go down. And losing that control over your own life is such a slap in the face. It is so difficult.
It is. And it breaks you like in a whole new way, because like, you know, it's like before, obviously you have kids, like you could just make decisions, you know, as per you or as per your partner. And it's like, okay, this is my schedule and this is what it's going to be. And if I feel like doing this today, I'll do this. And if I feel like doing that, I'll do that. Or if I need to get this done, I will. And it's like, once you have kids, it's like, no, sorry, that changes. Everything goes out the window and it's up to them and like what they need and their schedule. And like, obviously that's what you sign up for in a sense, but like, do you really realize that until you actually have them? Because I know I freaking didn't. Like, and I think that also broke me, because yeah. I was just like you just said, like I, you know, was used to being on camera and getting glam almost every day and running here and running there and doing all these events. And in my mind, it was like, well, you know, I'm going to pop Amelia out and just, you know, go on and just do the next thing.
Right. And we are led to believe that that is achievable and that's normal and that's what everyone else is doing. And if you can't do that, somehow you're a failure. And all of that is so false.
Oh, so false. And the thing is like, you know, when I have conversations with moms who like actually really share like the realness, they're like, so I was up till like 2 a.m. writing my book because that was the only time that I actually could sit and write my book, because that was the only time I had time by myself before my babies needed me. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, so you did do it all and got done, you're superwoman, but like you sacrificed your own like sleep and exhaustion and everything else to be able to do the job that you wanted to do. Like, it's just, it's not like you just said, it's not what we're told and what we're shown. And like, you know, this is what it's going to be. It's like, no, like motherhood rocks your world. And then you have to figure out how to like be unrocked, to like handle things on your own terms. And it's like, for me, like there's some days where it's like, you know, I'll get 15 minutes to do an email and like, that's it. And then until the girls go to bed, then it's like, okay, now I'll check my emails and do this and do that. And I'm exhausted till midnight answering everything and doing what I need to do. And then there's some days where, you know, my girls are behaving and, you know, Amelia's playing with her toys and Arlie's sleeping and it's all good. And I'm like, cool, I'm gonna do a few emails. I'm gonna jump on a call. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. But I think the biggest thing for me with being like broken so many times is like realizing that like there's more breaking moments there than there are like actual like that picture of like, look at me, I'm doing it all, I'm superhuman. It's like, no, mostly the universe is going to break you over and over again just to make sure you really realize like what you're doing. And then every now and again, you'll get lucky where something will work out and you'll be like, oh my God, I freaking got it done.
Yes, I am right there with you 100%. I've said 100% so many times in this episode, Allie. It's crazy.
Hey, listen, it's 100%. It's so funny because on my podcast, I was listening to myself last night and I noticed I say the word appreciate constantly. And I'm like, wow, I need a new word for appreciate. I appreciate that. I'm like, okay, that sounds annoying. I need something else. I totally get it.
Yeah. And I was just sitting here thinking about all of that too, and thinking about how it's almost like, I hope this doesn't sound crazy, but it's almost like women, mothers are told that we can do everything. We're told that there's a certain standard of how we should be able to do everything. And when we inevitably fall short of that, because it is a falsehood and it is not attainable, that then we feel ashamed and we feel guilty and embarrassed and less than, and it kind of like silences us, right? It silences us, and then we don't feel comfortable exposing our own mess. So then we pretend like we have it together, which perpetuates that shame onto others. Do you know what I'm saying?
I completely know what you're saying. And I mean, thank you for saying that, because now I feel seen and heard. Like when I first had Amelia, you know, I like from her birth to like, you know, having her, like in my mind, I had planned everything it was going to be. It was going to be a water birth. It was going to be a natural birth. It was going to be this. It was going to be that. You know, the whole friggin' nine yards. And, you know, I even had my husband get like flowers for the tub and the whole thing, you know. And I was like convinced, you know, like this is how this is going to go. Cause like everybody gives birth and it's not a big deal. Wrong. You know, my body, like Amelia, after 30 hours of unmedicated labor and, you know, powering through and everything, Amelia at like 6 centimeters decided she wasn't going to ascend anymore in the birth canal. And so we transferred to the hospital. I wound up on all kinds of drugs to try to help her come out. And I was so exhausted and so uncomfortable. And then fast forward, after 42 hours, I wound up in a C-section. And
yep.
So
tale as old as time. So true. Yes. I mean, and that is such like a great introduction to motherhood right there. It was like all the plans in the world won't change reality.
That's right. Yeah, there it goes, you know, and it was just like so intense. And then what you were just saying about all that, like then, you know, fast forward to then, you know, being a new mom and having Amelia. And I was so like, oh, I'm going to get myself, you know, glam every day still so I can do my stuff on social media. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I made myself insane, so much so insane that I ended up going through pretty heavy postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And like, talk about something fucking breaking you.
And like, something that people hide a lot of the time, you know.
I totally hit it in the beginning. I completely hit it in the beginning because I was like, oh, this can't be, like, you know, there's no way. Like, I'm a pretty happy person. Like, no, whatever. It's baby blues. It'll go away. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And it was just like, I not only was so shameful of myself, but also how you're saying, like, pretending everything's fine and, like, continuing on because, like, this is what you're supposed to do in motherhood. That's exactly what I was doing. It was like, oh, just keep going. Just keep going. Keep playing the music. Keep playing the music. Like, and it's like, no, dude, that's, like, that's not how it is. And, like, you have to be healthy and be in a good place to be able to like function, let alone be a good mom.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that just broke me at a whole nother level. And I remember turning to my husband and saying, like, I feel like I'm mourning the freaking death of me.
And, you know, yes, girl. Yes. Oh my God. It is a death of your former self.
Yes.
And we,
yes,
and we is. Don't talk about that enough. And you it mourn is. It and you don't even know what it is.
No, you don't. You have no clue because nobody tells you.
No.
Yes, of course, it's amazing having your baby. And yes, of course, it's amazing being a mom. But nobody tells you that, like, that old Allie or that old Betsy or whoever it is, that's not going to exist anymore. Like,
yes.
It's going to completely change. And I've had so many moms, like, say to me, yes, they agree with me. And then I've had so many moms say to me, like, that's terrible. That's not true. You don't have to lose yourself. And I'm like, look. Everybody's different. I'm not giving any kind of, you know, advice or spiel here. It's like, but if you feel that, like, if you really feel like you lost your sense of identity, you lost who you are, that shit is normal. Like, it happens. There are so many moms I've talked to who are like, I have no idea who I am. I don't even remember half the things I do anymore. I couldn't even tell you what my favorite things to do are besides hanging out at home with my kid. And I'm like, yes, I've been there and I'm still there some days. There's some days where I'm like, what did I want to do for myself today? I don't even remember. Forget about it. Like, it's just, you give so much to your kids or your child that it's like, you don't realize that, like, you do feel like you lose yourself and, like, you do feel so broken. And I just, like, want to make that so freaking clear that it is fucking normal. And, like, don't feel shameful if you feel that way, because, like, I really believe, like, we're reborn as moms.
Yes. Yes. It's like we're a piece. It's like we're a piece of pottery. I'm sure this is the most basic metaphor. It's like we're a piece of pottery and then we, you know, we paint ourselves and we mold ourselves and we're like, this is how I am. This is what I'm all about. And then having children, it just shatters that sense of self and it sort of flings all of those pieces to every corner. And even, you know, and I feel like after you have, after you give birth or after your baby shows up, you know, you put those pieces back together, but they will never fit exactly the same way. You are forever changed. You are a different human. And we're all led to believe that, like, oh, just bounce back from pregnancy, or, you know, you're going to put all the pieces back together as if nothing ever happened. And that's such bullshit. And it really undermines the power of the process of motherhood. It shakes you and to your core, and it ought to. It's crazy that we need to pretend like, oh, my body never changed and my eye never changed. Like, honestly, how does it not change you in every cellular way?
It does. And by the way, thank you for saying fuck the bounce back. Like, I am so over people say, oh, you'll bounce back. Oh, you'll bounce back. No. Like, for most, the bounce back doesn't exist. And stop trying to hold us to this, you know, society of like, this is what it's going to be. Because for most of us, that's just not the case. And then we feel horrible about ourselves when we can't bounce back. Because I was in that position after having my C-section. And I was like, what the fuck? Why can I not get to where I was before? And that's because all I heard was bounce back, bounce back, bounce back. It's like, no, just like we're reborn. Can we just move forward and like figure it out from there and not go backwards?
Yes to all of that. Yeah.
Seriously. It's just, but it is, it's so breaking. Like you said, all of it is so breaking. And I think that, you know, like for me, I've learned that like, I have to sometimes tell myself like, it's okay if I feel broken. Like that's just part of the freaking job.
Yeah, it is. And that's okay. It is okay to not be okay. Allie, was there another story that you wanted to tell before we finished up? Cause I want to make sure you get a chance to tell it if you wanted to tell another story. I feel like you had mentioned something about,
I have such a baby brain. What was I going to tell?
You were like, I have another story that might make people hate me.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, okay. This is not a funny one. And this was a breaking moment for me.
Okay.
So basically I was, you know, pregnant, had my daughter Amelia. I was going to the chiropractor every week, sometimes twice a week, because I was so uncomfortable. And she was also helping me be able to hopefully have my V back, which thank God I did get with Arlie.
Hey, congratulations.
So, thank you. That was a nice little blessing out of the pandemic. Like, holy crap, I got my V back during this insane time.
Oh, so for people listening who don't know what a V back is, it is after you have a C-section, you know, Allie, you explain it because I have not had one and you have. You tell what it is.
Basically, the verbiage is vaginal birth after a C-section. Basically, you find a doctor, you find a provider, whoever that, you know, believes your body can basically have that trial of labor to be able to then push the baby out. And so my chiropractor basically was adjusting me and adjusting my hips because we believe that was one of the issues with Amelia, and making sure I was really aligned and everything was good so that hopefully if I was in the right position, I could get Arlie out, which thank God after, you know, my C-section, I really, really wanted to experience a natural birth. Another thing that truly broke me personally was having a C-section. I know some people choose it and that's fine. For me, it really broke me and I really wanted to know that I could experience a vaginal birth. And so for Arlie,
can I ask you about that, Allie?
Yeah, sure.
I know that with a lot of my friends and a lot of women that I've spoken to who have had C-sections, a lot of them have had feelings of like shame or feelings of less than, because they didn't feel like, either from internally or I think more likely outside forces, they have been led to feel as if their labor and delivery was not valid or not real or not like natural. Does that make sense? Was this part of your feeling?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, for me, you know, I was unmedicated for, you know, 30 hours and I felt so, as much as it was so intense, I felt so in control of like my body and my baby and what was happening and being able to be like, oh, look at me, like I'm a badass, I can handle this kind of thing. Yeah. And then, you know, getting transferred to the hospital, I felt like I lost all control. Everyone's putting me on all these medications. I can't even move. I'm stuck in bed, you know, and I'm like, holy crap. I went from feeling totally empowered, you know, unnatural, you know, intense, but like still in control, to being completely out of control, on massive drugs, can't move out of my bed, and, you know, eventually being cut open. And that was really freaking hard for me, was to swallow the fact that I wasn't able to get to what I wanted to, and then ended up having, you know, my C-section. And I understand that, of course, you know, it's a beautiful thing because God forbid you can't get your baby out, or, you know, you have something going on and you need that, or you choose that, whatever it is. But for me, I just really, really wanted to experience the vaginal birth. And so when they cut me open, to me, I just felt so broken. Like, what the heck? Why can't my body do this? Why am I failing? Like, I'm already failing. I'm not even a mom yet. Like, it was just like, for me, it was a flood of emotions all in that moment. So it's like, I think it's like, you know, whatever you're feeling, whether you have a vaginal or C-section, if it feels a certain way to you, like, then that's just how it feels to you. Like, you know, it's like that, that's your experience. That's your perspective. And only we know our own bodies and our own minds. So it's like, I always tell people when they say to me, like, well, I don't feel like I really experienced my birth, or I'm feel like, I feel for all those people, no matter which way they had their baby, because it's like, I feel like for all of us, that's the other thing, is like, birth breaks you in a whole new way too. Like, you have no idea what it's going to be like. And it's like, we all survive this crazy car accident and survive.
Yes. And it is totally like a car accident. Yes.
Your whole body is like, whether it's vaginal or it's a freaking C-section, your whole body is like, you know, goes through all this craziness and brokenness, and then all of a sudden there's this beautiful baby, and it's like you're celebrating this beautiful baby, but your whole body's broken. Like,
yes, after my first baby was born, I did not realize, I did not anticipate how sore my whole body would feel, like every single part of me, just from the tension and the pushing and like the contractions, my whole, like my neck, everything was so sore. I think you just said the word fail, which I think was really like, that's the word that I hear from my friends and other moms who have had C-sections, that they felt like it was a failure somehow, that their body, you know, and you hear about this with like women who struggle with breastfeeding as well. Like, oh, I failed somehow. My body won't do the thing that it's supposed to do. It's supposed to push a baby out of the birth canal. It's supposed to, you know.
That's the thing though, right? Society tells us that, you know, like as a new mom, like you're going to be able to breastfeed. You're going to be able to push the baby out. You're going to be able to do all these things. And I do think that we should empower other women and moms, like I do on my social, like let people know, like, listen, I struggled, but I was able to get there, so that they have the empowerment, if they want to try, that they can. But there needs to be a realistic, you know, note of like, that's also may just not happen. And like, that's just not, that doesn't mean you're a, like a failure. Yeah. It's just whatever happens, happens. And our babies really do ultimately control what goes on in our births and everything. It's really not necessarily just up to our bodies, up to our babies. And so it's like, you have to let go of that. But I know that feeling of feelings like failure, because after I had Amelia, I remember just like turning to Justin and being like, what the hell? Like, why couldn't I get her out? Like, what, like, why, you know what I mean? And he was just like, but she's here and she's beautiful and she's healthy. And I was like, yes. And I agree with all those things, but I was so broken because I was like, but I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't make it happen. And he was just like, it, you know, and he kept saying to me, like, he would try to remind me when I would get really upset about my scar, and I would cry looking at my scar. And he would say, like, ow, like that's the door that gave us Amelia. Like, that's, you know, and I'm like, I know what you're saying, but I still felt so broken. So I feel for so many moms that feel that failure feeling, because I did too. And that's why for me, you know, that VBAC with Arlie, I think it wasn't just about the fact that I could actually physically push her out. There was just so much in my mind of feeling broken that it just healed me in so many ways.
Yeah. I love that he called it the door. That's beautiful.
I know, right? I know. It was honestly, like, he's not a mushy guy, and it was a mushy moment. You know, it was like, it was really sweet. And it's true. And it's like, we're not failures, you know, breastfeed, don't breastfeed, you know, C-section, not C-section. Like, you're a mom, like, you know, like you're, as long as you're taking care of your child and they're, you know, surviving and, you know, and, you know, fed and doing all the things, like, then you're doing a great job. And I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit of like, it's so freaking hard being a mom. Like you and I said, like, you feel broken so many times throughout the day, throughout the night, just every single moment, that you have to remember, like, you're doing a freaking great job from the minute they come to as you're raising them. And I have to remind myself of that shit all the time. Every time I feel that broken feeling, every time I feel super upset with myself or shameful or whatever it is, I'm like, okay, no, but they're okay. They're doing well. Like, that's all that matters.
Yes. And it's so important to remember, to remind yourself that. And, you know, we had Band of Mothers on Tracy.
Oh my God, I love them.
And Shayna.
Yes.
Yes.
And when, them on my show.
They've come on your show?
Yes. I love them. They're amazing.
I love them. And in their live show, the Pump and Dump show, one yes. thing they do is in the middle of the show, they say to everyone, hey, everyone, I want you to text a mom friend of yours right now and just tell her that she's doing an awesome job. And that has really guided me in this experience of having this podcast. But also, you know, it's a good thing to remember that, you know, I would encourage anyone listening right now to do that. Just take a second, text a mom friend of yours, and just remind her that she's doing a great job, because I think we all need to hear it all the time. But anyway, Allie, please continue your story, because we got
it's totally fine. Mom life, right? We get on all kinds of tangents. So yeah, and I agree with you. Like, just keep reminding yourself you're doing a great job. So, and I had to do that, by the way, in this moment with what happened. So when, after I went to the chiropractor and I got Amelia back in her car seat and we were getting all set to go, and my BMW locked while she was in it. You tell me. I called BMW screaming, cursing. It was some kind of malfunction. They said they shouldn't have done that because my keys were literally like sitting like on my seat, and I had my front door open. And so I thought if my front door, like my door, was open, then like I would be able to get into my freaking vehicle, right? Because I had done that before. Because I put my stuff down, like I loaded the diaper bag in the, you know, the passenger seat. My keys were right there, like all my stuff. I had Amelia's water, I had her food, I gave her all her stuff, and I, you know, I went to walk over to the other side because the front door, my door, with my driver's seat, was open when I went over to it to get her in, and somehow it locked. And they were like, "Well, the keys must have somehow sent a signal to like lock the car." And I was like, okay, well, my daughter is in that car. And so I obviously couldn't leave my vehicle because I'm standing there looking at her, and I'm trying to keep her calm and just be like, mama's going to get in a second. I'm getting a second. And I'm like crying.
Thank God you had your phone. Thank God your phone wasn't in the car. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I know. I don't even know how I didn't throw it in the car. I know. And so I call my chiropractor. She comes running out and she's like, okay, you know, let me call, like, you know, the police department, they call the fire department, like, let me see, like, what we can do. And so I'm standing there the whole time with Amelia. Thank God, also, it wasn't hot out, but thank God, also, the window was also cracked, because I had cracked it before I had gotten in the car. I know, right? And I'm standing there, like, trying not to be hysterical, and I call my husband and the whole thing, and they came, the fire department comes. I'm, like, mortified. People are looking at me from all angles, all over the street, staring at me, like, look at this freaking mom. And I'm just standing there like hysterical, and they come, and you know, in 2 seconds they use their tool and they get it open, and they, you know, and they check her, and she's, you know, she's totally fine. She wasn't even, thank God, she wasn't even crying. She wasn't even fazed. She was just sitting there, and they were like, you know, they're like, everything's fine. Are you okay? Is she okay? And I'm like, and they're like, she seems fine. Everything seems fine. They're like, you know, obviously be very careful. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm mortified. I'm disgusted with myself. And they're like, listen, accidents happen. But I was so upset at myself, and I was so angry at myself that like I allowed that to even happen and put myself and her in that position. And I was just like, I was so down on myself, and that moment really broke me, because I wasn't even busy. Like, it's not like I was texting. It's not like I wasn't, you know, present. It's not like I was doing anything. Like, I was literally just getting her in the car, getting myself together and leaving. And like, that happened, and it was just like, holy crap. Like, I was so upset. That's why I say, like, I know people are gonna be like, oh my God, how did you do that? Like, what the hell?
What do you mean? Why would anyone say that though?
Because I feel like, to me, in my mind, like that shamefulness we just talked about. Yeah. Was like, how did you let that happen? Like, why did you put your keys on that seat? Like, why, you know what I mean? Because in my mind, my door was always open. I've done that in my own driveway, and my door stays open. And so it was like some kind of malfunction. But I'll tell you what, I never do that again. My keys are now always either in my hand or on the top of the freaking hood. Like, I never put them down now, because I don't trust that not to happen, even though supposedly it was fixed.
Yeah. Anyone who shames you for that is a dick, because, like, unless you're a psychopath, no one would ever do that on purpose. Like, it was
I was losing my shit. I mean, I was crying. I was trying to figure out, like, literally before the fire department came, I was trying to, like, figure out how to get my hand, like, in the window more to, like, push it down to, like, you know, like, get her. I mean, I was in total panic mode. Like, I was like, oh my God, I am such a bad mom. How did I let this happen? Holy shit. Like, it was like, talk about all the guilt, all the shame, and how you were just saying about you're doing, like, a good job, and, like, we're all doing a good job. I had to remind myself that, like, 100 times that night, next day, because I was so mad at myself. I was so upset. I was so angry about the situation. And, like, thank God she was so fine. She didn't even seem fazed by it. She didn't even realize it happened. Yeah. But I felt like such an asshole. Like, I told my husband, I'm like, I feel like the worst mom. Like, the worst mom.
Allie, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And I'm so sorry that you feel like there's any part of that that could be up for judgment or. That's awful. Like, that to me, that's an awful thing that happened to you. But it is not, you know, like, you didn't Thank orchestrate you. That.
It was breaking and it was hard for sure. And I'll never ever not put my keys down again. I'll have my keys in my hand.
Oh my God. That is such an incredibly scary experience. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And I'm so glad the window was, I'm so glad you had your phone, and I'm so glad the window was cracked open.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I thought about all that. Like, what if I didn't have this? What if I didn't have that? I know. It was intense. It was, that definitely was a moment that I wanted to chug a bottle of wine and I couldn't because I was pregnant. it was like, oh my God, if there's any moment I want to drink this whole pregnancy, it's right now and I can't do it. And like pretend it's a friggin' spritzer and get over it. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Allie, you were doing and you are still doing right now a great job. You're doing a great job, and oh my gosh, it's been so awesome getting to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun, and I love just sharing, like, the realness of motherhood. There's just so much fluff and there's just so much nonsense out there, and it's like, dude, whatever works for you, whatever works for you. But it's like, let's just be real. This shit is hard. We're all in the trenches together. Whether they're little, they're bigger, like, we're all dealing with so much. And especially right now in the world right now, like, just give yourself some freaking grace and, like, be allowed to be broken. It's okay.
Yep. You know what I'm going to say? 100%. Allie, where can people find you? What's the name of your podcast? Where can they follow you? All that good stuff.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Betsy. This was awesome. This is, like, literally, like, made my day. So you can find me and follow me at Allie Levine Design, A-L-I-L-E-V-I-N-E Design, on all social platforms. You can hit my blog and check out anything I post on motherhood, fashion, lifestyle, allielevine.com. We also didn't mention that I'm a stylist, so I am doing remote styling still from home. So if you're needing that, you can either DM me or you can go to allielevinestyling.com and I'll take care of you remotely in your home.
Well, if you have an event, oh, this is very exciting.
Oh, yes. I will take care of you regardless if we can't be IRL. My podcast, obviously, anywhere you listen to this amazing podcast, you can find mine. It's Stripped Down with Allie Levine. It's actually going through a rebrand right now, so the name will be changing, but you'll be able to find me. Just search my podcast, Allie Levine. And what else? I mean, I love to talk to people in my community. Like, come say hey, you know, let me know you found me from this show. I love to connect with their moms and, you know, have them help them share their truths and be able to be cool about being real and raw. That's what you'll find when you find me on my platforms. It's very real and raw. So prepare. Buckle up.
Well, beautiful. I think if anyone's listening to this show, they're down with that shit.
Yeah, right?
That's why they're here.
A little bit more of that, I think.
Well, for those of you listening, thank you so much for joining us in this podcast episode. I still don't know how I'm ending the show these days because Amanda always ends the show. I gotta fucking figure it. If anyone has any ideas, please send them my way.
Oh, I love it. Well, I would just say, like, for me, in my opinion, listening to your show, like, hey, if you, you know, if you've got, you know, a story to share, or, you know, a broken moment, whether you want to share it or you need to just hear it, come listen and feel broken with the rest of us.
There you go. Well, for you listening at home, just know that you are doing a great job.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Hey, Rachel, Oscar.
Yeah, Claire?
Do you love Disney movies?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen them all?
Not all of them.
What do you guys think if we watch them all in chronological order and then talk about them?
Ooh. Oh, and what if we can talk about it with some of our favorite friends?
I love that.
Yeah, what if we do it inside the Disney Vault?
You know, that's the name of our podcast, Inside the Disney Vault on Campfire Media.
Yeah, check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to yours.
That's Inside the Disney Vault.
Let's go.
Campfire.